Greetings, all of God's people. We're now continuing from chapter 24 of the book of Luke, where we stopped last time, in the last lesson. That was the fourth lesson. We might have a few more. And we read that on the first day, the women, you know, they came to bring the spices that they prepared, since on the Sabbath day they rested. And so they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, verse 2, and then they went and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they went in, they didn't find him. Well, they didn't find him because he was already gone. And the time that they came, as we read in verse 1, was on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. You know, very early, it's still dawn, still dark, you see. And he was already gone. As I explained in the last lesson, that's because he was resurrected at the end of the Sabbath. That's the time that he died. That's the time that he rose, 3 days and three nights. A lot of people, you know, again, developed, you know, a false doctrine there that he rose on Sunday. And so on Sunday morning, they go and have a service, Easter service. Easter sunrise, they call it. Another false doctrine. Because they do not follow what the scripture says very plainly. And they found the stone rolled, and he was not in there. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men, there were two angels, stood by them in shining garments. Then they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. They said to them, that is angels. You know, the women recognized these are angels. They were in shining garments, and so they were afraid, obviously. And so they looked down. And so they asked him, why do you seek the living among the dead? You see, if you are alive, you're not dead. And if you're dead, you're not alive. And so if you're dead, to say that you go to hell or you go to heaven, you see, that doesn't make sense. You're either alive or you're dead. And Jesus Christ was dead. Yes, he was dead for 3 days. But now he's alive. You see? The two are opposites. And for people to think that when you die, you go to heaven or you go to hell, then you didn't die. See, the whole thing becomes, you know, empty. Oh, they say, well, you know, the body died, you know, but the spirit is a person. Well, there goes a lie. God made it very plain. You know, we just read earlier. The saints came out of the grave because this is where they were. Asleep, in the dust, not in heaven. And if they were wicked, they wouldn't be in hell either. At the end time, everybody's going to come out of the grave, out of the dust, out of the earth, you know, where we were corrupted and disintegrated. And it's from there that God is going to bring us back. If we happen to be just a whole, you know, if we died recently, well, it'll be the whole of the same body. But if we lived, you know, thousands of years ago or many years ago and we don't longer, you know, any longer exist as we used to be, well, God is going to recreate the body. That's what you read in Ezekiel 37. A total recreation of the body of the person that lived before that. And into that body God will place the spirit. And then that person is going to be thinking and talking and walking and feeling. In other words, alive. You see, the spirit without the body cannot be alive. Cannot exist without that. The two of them together, then there is life. And so it was even with Jesus Christ. And then let's go now to the book of Acts. What was the understanding of the apostles or the disciples? And at the same time, you can see that their understanding was the same understanding of the Jewish community, because none of them who heard the apostles speak about this matter disputed the fact of what they said concerning life and death. And so as Peter, on the day of Pentecost, speaks to his own people, you know, the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and all the Jews saw that, and saw the impact of that, and they all began to speak in tongues. Then Peter was preaching there his first sermon in the temple. Up to now, it was only Jesus Christ who was teaching, and now Peter was doing it in the temple. And so, as he speaks to them in chapter 22 of the book of Acts, in verse 24, this is what he tells them about Jesus Christ. He said, God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because he was dead. See, he was not alive in heaven. He was dead, just like anybody else. Because it was not possible that he should be held by it, that is, by death. But the pangs of death, you know, the pains of death, or pangs of death, you know, literally, birth pangs. And that's what it means. When you're dead, you're dead. You're held in captivity. That's captivity, you see. That's what the grave is also referred to as captivity. And God is going to deliver us out of captivity. And both of the death, or the grave, if we are there, or if we are alive and, you know, in captivity to man, He's going to deliver humanity from that condition also at the end of time. That is, His people of Israel and the rest of mankind who are captive in their own lands. But the wicked system under which we all live, unfortunately. And so, he says in verse 25, "For David says concerning him," that is concerning Jesus Christ, the one that just rose, "I foresaw the Eternal, the Lord, Jehovah, always before my face. For He is my right hand, at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For You will not leave my soul in the grave," in Hades. You see, later on, when the doctrine of the false doctrine of heaven and hell entered into the mind of the children of Israel, entered into Judaism, entered into this religion called Christianity, that took a little bit of the Bible and a lot of man-made, that's the same as Judaism, some from the Bible and a lot of man-made teachings, claiming that it is biblically inspired or from God, invented by the men, the clergy, you know, the spiritual leaders of Israel, the peoples, and they claim it's from God. But God says, no, you know, your fear of me is taught by the commandments of men. And commandments of men are not the commandments of God. And they can say all they want that they are the commandments of God or the teachings of God or inspired by God. God says they are not. As it says in many other places, you know, they speak and I haven't sent them. And yet they say the Lord said and the Lord said and I didn't say it, he said. They're all a bunch of liars. That's what God calls them. That's the way He's going to expose them before all when the day comes. As we shall read when we get to Zechariah later on. So David says, "You will not leave my soul in the grave." Why? Because of the resurrection. That's why. "Nor will you allow your Holy One," speaking about Christ, the Savior, "to see corruption." Because 3 days later on, He was resurrected. But He was in the grave. And had He not been resurrected, His body would have corrupted, and that would have been the end of Him. Until the resurrection, a different time. Verse 28, "You have made known to me the ways of life, and You will make me full of joy in Your presence." Unfortunately, others do not know the way of life. They believe in lies. And so, this is now what Peter concludes by saying, verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David." In other words, let's speak very plainly. What are we talking about? He says, let's speak freely or plainly to you about the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. They didn't dispute that he was both dead and buried. None of them believed there was no such a teaching of heaven and hell, so there was no question about it. And therefore, he says, "Being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." You see, once he resurrects him from the dead, then he's going to place him on his throne. But when? You see, Christ is not reigning on the throne of David, though he was born to be the king, to sit on the throne of David. No, at the end time. That's when Christ returns. He went up to receive the kingdom there and to wait until the day when the Father would say, now is the time. And in between, to help his followers, to deal with his followers, to guide his followers, you know, to live his life in them for the next 2,000 years, to form this body of believers, and through them to bring light to the others. And verse 31, "He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul," or his spirit, "was not left in Hades," that is, in the grave, "nor did his flesh see corruption." You see, the grave, that's what Hades is, and yet people develop this concept. Hades is the place where the dead people are, and since they believe in heaven and hell, therefore there are living people there in Hades or in Sheol, walking around, you know, being tormented. And Dante's, you know, Inferno came about, you know. The comedy that he wrote, he was making fun, you know, of the fables of his day, and people took it seriously and made a doctrine out of it. Well, he never meant it to be that way. That's the way people are when they're blind. Dante never believed in that teaching that people are burning in hell and all that. He was just writing a comedy, making fun of people because of their crazy ideas at the time. And the church at the time seized upon it and made it a doctrine, and everybody began to believe it. And since that time, all those preachers go out there and scare people to death about going to Hades or to the grave or to hell, you know, and burning and suffering forever and ever. And to this very day, people believe it. All lies. Didn't come from God. Came from the mind of Satan, you know, those that he inspires on this earth. And so he says, verse 32, this Jesus God had raised up, of which we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you saw and fear. And here, that is, speaking about the Holy Spirit. And then he says what David said, for David did not ascend. See what he's saying here? Very plainly, David did not ascend into the heavens. Plain words. He said, let's talk plainly about it. And all of them knew that. All the Jewish community that were listening knew that, because there was no such a doctrine among them of heaven and hell. So they all knew, as he said earlier, he's both dead and buried. And when you die, this is where you are, awaiting the resurrection. You don't go anywhere. Dead people don't go any place. No more than trees begin to walk. You see? You're just laid in the ground like a tree. You stay there until somebody comes and moves you away from there. You cannot do it on your own. Unless God puts a spirit in you, then you get up and walk. Now, these are plain words. People are reading it. They've been reading it for 2,000 years and still doesn't go, you know, into the thick skull to believe it. Now, if David, the prophet of God, has not ascended up to heaven, and Christ said nobody ascends up to heaven, what makes people think that when you die you go to heaven? See? Blind people don't think. They don't see, they don't understand, they don't comprehend even what they read. And to begin with, they would not even admit that they are blind. It's not convenient. They believe lies all their lives. They would rather continue in lies, even when the truth is right before them. And a lot of people read these scriptures and just went over their head. David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, that is the Father, the one that became the Father, said to my Lord, my immediate Adon. You see, he's God, the one that came in the flesh. Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And so he ascended up to heaven after he was resurrected. The Lord, the Savior, the King of Israel, the one that dealt with him before that, that came down to Mount Sinai, that married Israel, their God, their Savior, their Maker, that came in the flesh and atoned for their sins and the sins of all mankind. And God says, sit on my right hand, you know. You see? And some people, you know, develop another false doctrine there about the Trinity, that God is three in one. Well, if he's three in one, why is he sitting on his right hand? You see? God stands here, and Jesus Christ stands, you know, to his right. Well, that's another issue. We're not dealing with it now. Children of Israel, because of blindness, are full of error, full of doctrines of demons, and they don't even know where they came from, and they believe them. And then they misread some scriptures, and they have no understanding. And God says, you sit right here next to me until I make your enemies your footstool. And so therefore, Peter says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And because of that blindness that we read about earlier in the book of Isaiah, God made his people blind. And even when they saw their very king, their, you know, the deliverer, their savior, and saw the signs and wonders and miracles, and many other things, even when they saw the dead that came from, you know, the grave, Still, many of them would not believe, just like they don't to this very day. See, the blind people who choose to be blind because of their rebellion against God, they're not going to acknowledge their error. And to this very day, they would not. Probably many of you are going to listen to this message, you know, about the heaven and hell, still are not going to acknowledge your error. You would rather remain in darkness, in blindness, in confusion, following the devil rather than God and his teachings, which are very plain. As Peter says, you know, let's speak very plainly here. David is dead. He's buried. He's with us today. He did not ascend up to heaven. Oh, would people listen? Of course not. And so, let's continue now with John and chapter 11, where we read about a man that was alive in the days of Jesus Christ. Some people will ask questions, you know, because they read all these passages and they say, what about this and what about that? You know, as much as you give knowledge and understanding and truth, plain scriptures to people, they would always say, what about this and what about that? In other words, they have misunderstanding about a certain point. They think it's true, and that to them is the most important, and therefore nothing else matters. And so, we have this example here of Lazarus in chapter 11. And we read in verse 1, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And these were very close friends of Jesus Christ. And Lazarus was his very close friend. He was their brother. Well, anyway, Lazarus was sick. And in verse 4, we read, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. You know, when you die and just gone, that's it, the end of you. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So he realized, he knew, he understood that God was going to use this very example again to give a testimony to his own people who were blind. So he gave them all along the way, from the beginning of time, from the time brought them out of Egypt, signs and wonders and miracles, and still they were rebellious and blind and stiff-necked and would not believe and would not obey God. So this was going to be another one of those signs which many would not believe regardless, even though they knew that he resurrected him. And yet God in his mercy constantly gives us many opportunities to see again and not to be blind. But only very few take him on that. And so we read later on, when Christ decides to go back there and deal with him, in verse 11, these things he said after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him. In other words, the concept of sleeping and death is the same. And the reason why God uses that, because just like to give us an example, you know, every time you go to sleep, this is just like when you die, you're not conscious, you're not awake, you're not talking, you're not thinking, or you may be dreaming. And so would your death be. You're going to be in the grave. You're going to be waiting there. And when I'm ready, I'm going to resurrect you and I'll put your spirit in you and then you'll function again. So every night we go to sleep, we experience death and resurrection when we wake up in the morning. That's similar to that. And so they did not understand. You know, he's sleeping. They said, well, if he's sleeping, he's going to wake up. And so, in verse 14, Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. You see, because they too had a difficulty understanding. There was still blindness in part on them too. As many times he had to tell them, you too are blind, you know, can't you understand? You're hard-headed, you know, lacking faith. So he says, nevertheless, let's go to him. Well, anyway, he took his disciples and went back there. And then we read in verse 21, when he arrived there, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if he had been here, my brother would not have died. Now she knew what death is. When you're dead, you're dead. You know, you don't go to heaven, you don't go to hell, you're just dead. That's it, you're gone. Yet she said, but even now I know that whatsoever you ask of God, God will give you. In other words, she in essence was saying, well, if it is your will to resurrect him, bring him back to life from the dead, you see, you can do it. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. He's going to be resurrected. And look what she says to him. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You see, that was the understanding of the Jewish community in the days of Christ. There is no heaven, there is no hell. When you die, you're in the grave, and you await the resurrection in the last day, when the Messiah returns, when the King of Israel comes, at the end of the age. You see, until then you're dead. You don't exist. You're in the dirt. You're dust. Oh, your spirit is in heaven, yes, but that's only spirit essence. It's not a person. It's not a thinking person. So in the last day. You see, it's only later on that this doctrine of heaven and hell entered into the Jewish community, but was not there in the days of Christ. And for a long time after that, it was not in many communities, but gradually it entered into the heart and the minds of all those, because, you know, they were born and their parents taught them, you know, all those things. What do they know? You just believe what your parents tell you without questioning. And so Jesus Christ said to her, I am the resurrection of the life, you see, because God gave him life in him, and he has that power to give life to others. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. You see, even though you are dead, don't exist, I will give you life. And of course, to the majority of mankind, it's going to be the end time, but in some specific cases, he did it on the spot. But even then, they will die again. You know, they just lived a physical life. You know, even Lazarus, he was resurrected, brought back to life like all the other saints. You know, when they rose from the grave after the resurrection, they lived, you know, another few years, and then they died again. Still awaiting the resurrection, now to eternal life, not just to physical life. And so she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. You know, I know that you are the Savior. You are the one that will bring, you will be responsible for the resurrection of all of Israel. In essence, that's what she's saying. But still she said, well, that's going to happen at the end time. In other words, she still doesn't understand that he's going to resurrect him right then. And there at that point. And so we read now in verse 32. Now Mary also gets into the picture. And Mary came, and she came to where Jesus was, and she saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. You see, in other words, he would have healed him from his sickness. So she too knew that he's dead, gone, no more. And Jesus obviously was troubled by that. And of course, they did not know that he was going to resurrect him. So everybody was emotional about it, including Jesus Christ, when he saw them, because he realized these people have no faith, don't have the knowledge and understanding that he has the capacity to resurrect them. And so they said, some of them said, verse 37, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? In other words, they did not realize that he who can keep a person from dying, he who can open the eyes can also resurrect him. Has the power of life, you see. So that showed still major blindness that was there. And they did not fully comprehend the power of God. And so, verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Now he was about to resurrect him. And they, of course, don't understand what's happening. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, see, dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he's been dead 4 days. You see, when you die, that's where you are. You corrupt, and you begin to stink. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And of course, she did not understand, and there wasn't enough faith there to understand. Look, he can do whatever he wants to. He can resurrect him, so I don't need to cry. I don't need to, you know, weep and moan and groan and all that. Just have faith. And she didn't have it. She was still blind, as many of us are to this very day. So we can't see the truth. We can see the power of God. We don't believe. We don't understand as we should. And so Verse 41, we read, verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. You see, the scripture constantly repeats that. Dead, dead, dead. He's always dead. Not alive. You know, not in hell, not in heaven. Dead. That's the point he's trying to make. You're either dead or you're alive. You cannot be both. And he was lying there, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you have sent me. You see? And at this point, he resurrected him. Now that he resurrected him and Lazarus is alive, now he can hear. And so at this point, we read, verse 43, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now when you are dead, you don't hear. So he had to be resurrected first. That's what happened. And he who had died, you see, he had died. Now he's not dead anymore. Came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. You see? So here you see, if you find an example here of a person that was dead, corrupting, non-existent, and brought back to life. And that's the way we come back to life when we die. We don't come back to life as soon as we are dead and another person gets out of our body and he keeps, you know, going some other place and either going to hell or going to limbo or going to heaven or going here or going there, you know, all the fables that people have invented, being led and guided and directed without their knowledge by the demonic spirit, by satanic spirit, to believe lies when the word of God is very plain. And very few people on the face of the earth believe it. And the true followers of Jesus Christ believed it and still do to this very day. And the majority that came into that group called themselves Christianity, as time went by, they brought all the pagan doctrines with them, and to this very day they believe in them. And this is one doctrine that they believe in, among others. And God made it very plain. And those who have eyes to see can see. Those who have ears to hear can hear. Those who have a heart to understand can understand. But these are the only people that God deals with, in whom he places the Holy Spirit. Not those who claim to have the Holy Spirit. An awful lot of people running around, you know, claiming to have the Holy Spirit. That's what all the false prophets were saying. The Spirit of God spoke by me. The Word of God spoke by me. And they're all liars. And so they deceive others to believe that they too have it. And to this very day, a lot of people believe that they have it, and they don't. That's why they believe all these lies, because their eyes are not open, though they think they are. They think they are awake, but from God's point of view, they're asleep. They're asleep, they're dead, you know. Dead in their sins, in their lies, in their deceptions. Let's go now to the book of Luke, chapter 23, where we read a few more things about this matter. In chapter 23 and verses 42 and 43, this is what we read. And at this point, we read the account of Jesus Christ being on the cross and the two thieves on either side of him. But this time, one of them is more repentant and is acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Lord. And so, in verse 42, we read, then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, if you put the comma after you, then you get the impression that today you will be with me in paradise. But if you put the comma after today, then you read it like that. Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. See the difference? And since people later on believe in the doctrine of heaven and hell, that's the way they presented it, and that's the way they wrote it. And of course, there were no punctuation marks anyway in the original account. That's a later on invention. But then again, they did it that way to justify their own misconception and misunderstanding. Now,
Where is the kingdom of God? When the thief was talking about the kingdom of God, what kingdom was he thinking in contrast to what people think? They're not the same thing. So first you have to understand what is the context. What's the background? What's on the mind of the thief? What is he talking about? What kingdom is he talking about? And so when he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom, when does he come into his kingdom? You see, Jesus Christ went up to heaven to receive a kingdom, but he had not received the power yet to rule over it. He's not reigning over it because he's not in his kingdom yet. He's returning to his kingdom. He's coming to this earth and he's going to reign on this earth and he's going to be the king over all the earth. That's his kingdom. So the thief was not talking about that moment. He's talking about the last day when the king of Israel shall again reign on the throne of David. You see, as I said, to this day, to this end I was born, as you read the beginning of the book of Luke. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob. You see? He's going to reign in Zion. And the people of Israel shall be brought back to their land. That's the kingdom the thief was talking about. And when people don't understand that, the false doctrines enter into their minds and hearts, they totally get mixed up and they invent their own ideas. And so the thing, God is... Jesus Christ is going up there and that's his kingdom, and when we die we go up to his kingdom. That's in heaven. His kingdom is not in heaven. His kingdom is on this earth. He's coming. That's why he's coming back to this earth. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come. You see? See how blind people are? They totally misunderstand everything they read because they are blind. When Christ says, you know, to pray, thy kingdom come, that's the kingdom he's talking about. When he comes back, when he returns, when he said, I shall return. You know, and then reign over the house of Jacob and then reign over the whole earth. That's the kingdom that the thief was talking about. And in Zechariah, you read when Jesus Christ returns, Zechariah chapter 14, we read that when his feet shall descend and stand on the Mount of Olives, that is the feet of the King of Israel, the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, well, that's when he's going to begin to reign over his kingdom. As we read earlier in Daniel, that he went up there to receive a kingdom and dominion over all the earth, all the nations of the earth. You see? And we read in chapter 14 of Zechariah, verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, you know, the day of this God, this Jesus Christ, the King of Israel, the God of Israel. It's coming. It hasn't come yet. And I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, and so forth. And then verse 3, and then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And the Mount of Olives shall split into two. You see? And then verse 4, you read, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. See, he comes back. He rose up to heaven. He received kingdom and glory and power over this earth, not up there. And then he's coming back here. And that's where his kingdom is going to be, on this earth. And all the false doctrines in the past 2,000 years are not going to change that. Where people think when you die, you go to heaven, that's where the kingdom is. This is not what the Word of God taught from the beginning until the end. But you see, when Israel went into blindness and darkness, that's the way they began to believe. And then as time went by, you know, people began to say, well, you know, the church is the kingdom. And then when you die, you still go to heaven. That's where the kingdom is. All these are lies. And so his feet shall descend on the Mount of Olives. And then verse 9 you read, you know, after he subdues all the enemies, restores all of Israel, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. That's the kingdom that the thief was talking about when he come to your kingdom. That is in the last day, in the resurrection. Remember me. That is, remember me for good. So, resurrect me to the resurrection of life, not to be condemned and destroyed again. It's all the wicked. And so the Lord shall be king over all the earth. That's his kingdom. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one. There aren't going to be any more, you know, many deities on the face of the earth. Only one Lord, one King, one God on this earth. And then the Father who is still in heaven, and later on also will come to this earth, as we shall see at the end of the story.
And man doesn't go up to heaven. No, heaven is coming down to earth. That's another deception of the devil from the beginning of time. And people still believe it to this very day. Let's go to Isaiah and read what the thief was talking about. What paradise was he talking about? Or what Jesus Christ was talking about, the paradise that is going to allow this thief to be in. That is, at the last day, in the resurrection, when that time comes. And then later on we'll find out when that time comes for that thief. And it's not what people think either. And so in Isaiah, in chapter 51, when God begins to restore his people Israel and bring them back to their land, and he's going to heal the land, that's the way it's going to look like. In verse 3, verse 1, God says, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the eternal." And when you seek him, you seek his word, not the words of men and the fables of men. And when you follow righteousness, you have to study the law of God to know what righteousness is. And most people don't do it. They've got their own ideas of what righteousness is. And they, you know, pick and choose a little bit here and a little bit there and then throw away all the rest. God is not talking to people like that. And so he says in verse 3, "For the Eternal will comfort Zion, he will comfort her," that is, he will comfort all her waste places, that he earlier said to Isaiah, that is going to bring utter destruction on the earth, and the land shall be waste, and yet God is going to restore it, and 1/10 are going to remain in the land. That means 90% will be dead, destroyed. And so when that time comes, at the end of time, he will make her wilderness like Eden, like Garden of Eden, which is also called paradise, and her desert like the Garden of the Lord, Garden of the Eternal, you see? And that's the paradise that Jesus Christ was talking about when he said to the thief, "I'm telling you today, you shall be with me in paradise." You see, this is the paradise. It's not a false concept that people invented. We go to paradise or go to heaven. Heaven is on earth. That's the heaven he's talking about. That's the paradise. That's the Garden of Eden. That's a place where people will be when they're resurrected. And until then, they're dead. They don't exist. And so you see what happens when people are totally mixed up. Then they begin to read the scriptures and they have their own ideas there to begin with. And with the glasses that they have on, you know, the false information, they begin to read everything and then get mixed up about everything they read. They're blind. Let's go now to Romans chapter 10 and verse 6, where the Apostle Paul also talks about something that Moses talked about a long time ago. And in chapter 10, in this chapter, he's speaking about the restoration of Israel to their kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, to the paradise that Christ was talking about, to their king who is going to be on this earth, reigning after the resurrection. Of those who have been dead, who are righteous, who will remain alive and be spirit beings, and after the return of the captivity of Israel to their land, and they are going to be physical beings until the time comes to become spirit beings, to be resurrected into eternal life, not just physical life. And so in chapter 10 and verse 6, Paul says, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above." You see, Christ is coming down, you don't need to go up there. "Or who will descend into the abyss, into the grave, that is to bring Christ from the dead." In other words, this is where Christ was when he died, in the grave, in contrast to heaven. So he wasn't in heaven, he was in the grave. You see, the opposites. Grave is not heaven. When you go to the grave, you don't go to heaven, you don't go to hell. You just stay there, you're dead. "Or who will descend into the abyss to bring Christ from the dead?" But what does it say? "The word is near you." That's what Moses was saying to the children of Israel. You can read it in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 12 to 14.
And he said, this word is in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith, which Jesus Christ epitomized. That's what he's talking about. You see, Jesus Christ is the word of God, the epitome of the word of God, of the truth, the epitome of the Torah. That's what he's talking about. And he said, you don't need to go up to heaven for it, and you don't need to go into the grave. And Paul is making a point here that that Torah that Moses was speaking about is the one that is epitomized by Jesus Christ, who gave it to Moses to begin with. So he's linking the two together. And so he says in verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And that word is Jesus Christ. That means Jesus Christ epitomizes that word. That's all it means. Verse 9, and if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, the people that do not believe that when you die you are dead, in which case, unless you are resurrected, you will never be alive again, they aren't going to be saved, because they believe lies. So if you believe that you know, when you die you go to heaven, you go to hell, that means you don't believe that Christ died. Because death means cessation of life. Not life in a different form. As a spirit being living forever and ever, either, you know, in heaven, which nobody goes there, as God made it very plain. Christ made it very plain. His disciples made it very plain. His prophets made it very plain. Nobody goes up to heaven. So if you believe that, you believe a lie. But when you're dead, you're dead. And if you don't believe in death, as God described death, then you don't believe that Christ died. You say, oh no, Christ didn't die. He just, you know, as soon as he passed out, he went up to heaven. You see? Because certainly you don't go to hell if you're the Son of God or a righteous man. So I said, but if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you see, if you don't believe that, the whole thing is a charade. To make believe. You know, if as soon as you close your eyes, you know, you go to heaven, you go to hell. Well, you haven't died. And you don't believe that God raised him from the dead. And therefore, you're not going to be saved. A lot of people think they're in the faith, in the truth, in the light, and they're in darkness. And one of these days, they're going to have a rude awakening. To realize that they've been following the devil all this time, being blind, thinking that they're following God. At least in certain doctrines, in many teachings. And that's exactly where the people of Israel were, being blind. Their fear of God was taught by the commandments of men, the teachings of men, the fables of men. Therefore, God says, you know, yes, you know, in their lips they praise me, but their heart is far away from me. They don't believe my word. They don't believe me. That's what Christ said. Why do you say, Lord, Lord, and you don't believe what I say? And when you don't, you call him a liar. But when he said that he was dead, that God resurrected him, you call him a liar. No, you didn't die. You just, you know, went up to heaven and we went, you know, went somewhere else. See how serious this matter is? Now, in the book of Romans again, chapter 6, this is how Paul described it. That's how God described it through Paul, speaking about death and life. In verse 22 it says, but now having been set free from sin, you know that will bring you to the grave if you continue that way, and having become slaves of God, you're always a slave, either a slave of sin or a slave of God, and have your fruit to holiness, and the end, that is the end result of that, is going to be everlasting life. You see? But if you believe in the doctrine of heaven and hell, both ways you have everlasting life, which is a lie. Only if you have holiness, you'll have everlasting life. And it's not in heaven either. And then verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. As God described death, not as man does, not as Satan the devil did. You know, you die, then you go somewhere else. The wages of sin is death. You're going to be in the grave and that's it, no more. If God doesn't resurrect you, you'll never exist. And as it is, he's going to resurrect the wicked as well as the righteous. And the wicked will be condemned and thrown into a lake of fire and be consumed and again be in that state of death, non-existent. Because he's unwilling to repent, that's why. And so the wages of sin is death. Not only the temporary one that happens, but also the eternal death, where you don't exist at all. And the resurrection of the righteous and the dead. So the wages of sin is death, that's on one hand. But the gift of God is eternal life. You see? To be alive forever, you have to have that gift of God. You have to be obedient to God. And you cannot be a wicked person and get that gift of eternal life. Yes, in hell, so to speak. Another false doctrine, the false place. It doesn't exist. But nevertheless, it's eternal life. If you live forever and ever and are being tormented, isn't that eternal life? You see how absurd the whole thing is, how demonic. Only a dark mind would believe a thing like that, a person that thinks he's in the light. And all those people who believe these kind of lies, God says, you know, through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 5 and verse 20, woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, and put darkness for light, and light for darkness. So he told them about the teachings of God, that when you're dead, you're dead. You don't exist. You don't go to heaven, you don't go to hell. To them, that's darkness. And the light becomes darkness to them, and the darkness becomes light. God says, woe to them who put darkness for light, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Then, anyway, we're going to continue the subject next time.